Let's open our Bibles now to Mark 4 and verse 26. Here we have a parable that Jesus gave about the kingdom of God. In fact, we have two parables in a row here about the kingdom of God. Well, let's look at the first one here. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Here we have this short parable about the kingdom of God. Now, once again, background notes. Just a couple of short background notes here. First of all, only Mark has this particular parable. As you know, many of the parables are contained in more than one gospel, but not this one. It's only in the Gospel of Mark. Here in verse 26, when it says, "A man scatters seed on the ground," or casts seed on the ground, the idea is not that the man doesn't know what he's doing, he's just kind of scattering seed around haphazardly. This has to do with the way they sowed seed in those days. They scattered it on the ground, and then they plowed it in. We saw this in the parable of the sower. All right, let's move right then to doctrinal points here, because we might be spending quite a bit of time here on the interpretation of this parable. Doctrinal points then for this little parable. Spiritual maturity is a gradual process. Spiritual maturity is a gradual process. Now, when we say spiritual maturity, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about the maturity, spiritual maturity of the Christian, or the maturity of the kingdom, because it's a parable about the kingdom of God? Well, now, not everybody's agreed, and that's why there are two basic interpretations to this little parable. First of all, there's the idea that the maturity that's in view here is of the Christian. Christians sow the seed, and people receive the word of God and believe it, and they become Christians, and now they begin to grow, and they mature as Christians. And the point then, if this is the interpretation of the little parable, the point here is that there's no shortcut to spiritual maturity. We can be sure that it will continue. Once the seed is received, it will continue to grow, but it's not instantaneous. Philippians 1:6 certainly assures us that it will continue. Here we read in Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." But it's not instantaneous spirituality. The harvest, then, in this interpretation, is the day of Christ, that is, when we meet the Lord. Now, that's one interpretation, the spiritual maturity of individual Christians. But there's a second interpretation, namely that the kingdom itself is in view, the maturity of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus is the man, here in verse 26, and he planted the good seed of his word during his earthly ministry. Then he went back to heaven. In this interpretation, by the way, some have even pushed this to the idea of the man sleeping and rising up may picture the death and resurrection of Christ. Well, that would be pushing it. I tend to lean with this interpretation, the maturity of the kingdom, but I would admit that this idea of the death and resurrection of Christ seen here would be certainly pushing the parable. In any case, see, in this interpretation, the Lord has gone back to heaven, and in the meantime, the kingdom is maturing. The power is in the word itself. It says, if the Lord is not actively involved as he was in his earthly ministry, the power is in the living word of God, as Romans 10, 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And not only is the gospel spreading and bearing fruit, but the kingdom itself is maturing. First you had, after the Lord planted the seed, then he goes back to heaven, and then you had the early days of the church, the apostolic days, the post-apostolic days, where the faith was continuing to grow. And then think of early church history, where the church was maturing and the essential doctrines of the faith were being hammered out. Think of the doctrine of Christ in those early first centuries AD, hammered out by these early Christians. Just think, for example, the doctrine of Christ, that Christ is one person with two natures, fully God, fully man. Think on down through church history of the Reformation time, where the kingdom takes a giant step in the maturing process with the recovery of the great truth of justification by faith. You see, the idea, the kingdom maturing, that may be what the interpretation is here. And the harvest is coming. It may come soon, when the grain ripens, as we see in this little parable. We can't say when full maturity, in line with God's sovereign plans and program for the kingdom, will take place. But when it does, the harvest will certainly come. Now, I tend to go with this second interpretation, because the man in verse 26 who sows the seed is the very one who reaps, puts in the sickle at the harvest and reaps. Notice verse 29. But when the grain ripens, immediately he, that is the man who sowed, back in verse 26, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Well, we don't do that. Only the Lord does that. Now, it's true, if you go with the first interpretation, we certainly do reap the joy of seeing believers grow and spiritually mature. You know, if it's the idea of the maturity of individual Christians, you know, as we sow the seed and we see people become Christians and go on in discipleship, we certainly do participate in a harvest in the sense that we reap the joy of seeing believers grow and spiritually mature. But it seems to me there's more involved here in the harvest here than just the joy we experience at seeing believers grow. And when you read that verse 29, not only is the man here putting in the sickle the same one as in verse 26, but he's immediately putting in the sickle and gathering the ripened grain at the harvest time. It certainly seems to me it fits better with the idea of the Lord's return and God's program for the kingdom. It fits quite well, I believe, with the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13. Now, that's also a parable of the kingdom. And we read there in Matthew 13 that the wheat and the tares were to be gathered together, and then the tares taken out. That's the evil part. And then the good wheat, the ripened grain, if you will, gathered into my barn. Matthew 13, verse 30. So this little parable here fits very nicely with that parable of the kingdom in Matthew 13. So it seems to me the interpretation to go with here is, rather than, you know, individual Christians maturing, it's more in line with the kingdom maturing. The Lord starts things, has gone to heaven, but the maturing process is going on, and there will come a harvest. Now, the doctrinal point, the way we stated it, namely that spiritual maturity is a gradual process, the way we stated it there, certainly is true, even if you go with the other interpretation. Whichever interpretation you go with, It is true that spiritual maturity is a gradual process. The Bible teaches that. Certainly, the Bible teaches that there is no shortcut to spiritual maturity in the individual Christian life. Spiritual maturity is a gradual process. But as I say, I'm more convinced that it really is a parable of the kingdom, and it's talking about the maturing process of the kingdom of God. And certainly that is true, the doctrinal point there. Spiritual maturity is a gradual process, and the harvest is yet to come. Well, let's go then to practical application from this section. And here's the way we'll put it. You can be sure that there will be a harvest. You can be sure that there will be a harvest. Now, this application is good regardless of which interpretation you take of the parable, whether it refers to the spiritual maturity of individual believers or the spiritual maturity of the kingdom itself. It's true that you can be sure there's going to be a harvest. In the first interpretation, we can be sure that if we scatter the seed, there will be results. People will get saved and disciples will be made. The power is in the word itself. We don't save a person. God does it through his word. Romans 10:17, once again, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We sow the seed, but God does the work. He gives the increase. Isaiah 55:11 would apply here. There will be a harvest. Isaiah 55:11, my word will not return unto me void. There will be a harvest. 1 Corinthians 15:58 would apply here as well. Finally, my brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. There definitely will be a harvest. Now, in the other interpretation, where the harvest is the final stage of God's program for the kingdom, the application certainly is valid here as well. Although we can't figure it out. We can't figure out the inner workings, what we're talking about here, the inner workings of God's maturing process. We can be sure that God's program for the kingdom is right on schedule and there will be a harvest. Therefore, you know, this is very practical. Let's not be discouraged and let's not throw in the towel because of small results. You do your small part. It's all part of God's program for spiritual growth in the kingdom. And you can be sure that the program of spiritual maturity is going on and there will be a harvest and the Lord has used you in some small way to help bring that grain in this way of looking at it, the kingdom of God, the ripened grain. He's used you and me to help bring that grain to the ripened state. So our studies together here in the Gospel of Mark are all part of God's program for his kingdom to bring the grain to the ripened condition, because the harvest is sure to come.